Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Wyoming. Today is Thursday, October 20th, and today we are reading from the big book, Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism, and we are on page 36, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Kara L., Lorraine N., and Leslie M. The reference number for Wednesday, October 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,527. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,539. A way preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Patty F. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Patty F. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. And now I'll ask Debbie to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Debbie, compulsive overeater in Northwest Montana. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, the OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Deb E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and again, we are on page 36, the second paragraph, and I will now ask Kara L. to unpack this paragraph for us. Go ahead, Kara.
This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Suddenly, the thought crossed my mind that if I were to put an ounce of whiskey in my milk, it couldn't hurt me on a full stomach. I ordered a whiskey and poured it into milk. I vaguely sensed I was not being too smart, but felt reassured as I was taking the whiskey on a full stomach. The experiment went so well that I ordered another whiskey and poured it into more milk. That didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. I love this paragraph. I know I say that every time. It kind of makes me laugh a little bit. I like that in the Big Book we find these places to find a little humor. I love the wording. I vaguely sensed I was not being too smart. How many times in my life did I vaguely sense I was not being too smart? And then I went ahead and did it anyways, whatever it was. And the idea is always, I have this reasoning in my mind that those ideas that suddenly crossed my mind, right? Like, oh, they popped in suddenly. It sounds like a good idea. I convinced myself it's a good idea, right? He's putting a little whiskey. Oh, this sounds like a great idea. Now, when I'm reading this now, it's obvious to me that was not a good idea. But I know in the moment, it is not obvious to myself that it's not a good idea. I might vaguely somewhere sense it's not a good idea. But I, you know, how many times did I move forward? Because I felt reassured by my own reasoning. And today, working these steps, I get the gift of when I vaguely sense I might not be working for my best interest or to be a best service in the moment, I have the tools today to stop, pause, and ask for input from a higher power. You know, like, hey, this is what I'm thinking sounds like a good idea. You know, higher power, what do you think? Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And working these steps, being of service, it gives me all sorts of opportunities to do that pause, to stop, step away from my own thoughts, take a moment, ask for input from something greater than me, and then move forward with intuition. You know, and when I do that, I find that those little experiments are less and less. And that thought that suddenly jumps into my mind is quelled, is quieted. And I'm able to move forward with the will of a higher power. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kara, for getting us started in a powerful paragraph. I would like to just remind everyone, especially if you're new to the format of this meeting, that we do value everyone's experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you have shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Tuesday, we ask that you pass today and let others share. So could you give me your names one at a time and your last initial? Thank you.
Reggie O.
I heard Reggie O. Was that Wendy?
Yes.
Okay. Wendy, right?
April B.
April B. Reggie O., Wendy, April B. Would anybody else like to be added to this first lineup?
Mo H.
Okay. Oh, Mo H. Great. All right. Let's start with these four, and then I'll gather more names later. Go ahead, Reggie O., you're up.
Hi. Thanks so much. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Texas today. And reminded me years ago, I think it was probably the first time that I recognized what it was to be recovered, although I had never heard that used in the program before. I was still living back in Boston then. And I walked into this cafe to get some tea or coffee or something. And there was all of these pastries in front of me in the shelves. And I looked at them and I thought, God, that's not even food. And it was like, where, you know, and that I had never had that thought before, but it was like that food was not even food. And fast forward to, some, I don't know, some years after that, a few years after that, I don't remember when, but I walked into Starbucks. I love to write in Starbucks and, you know, have good coffee cafe conversations. And I walked into Starbucks, and this was in another state and another cafe. And I went in, and there was the pastry counter, and there was this almond croissant. I think it was an almond something croissant that was just like the ones I used to get in Cambridge. And I thought to myself, suddenly the thought crossed my mind. And I thought, wow, there's only one in there. I've never seen that particular croissant before. So I ordered it, had it with my coffee, and then I went back to the pastry counter. There were no more of those croissants, but I went back to the pastry counter. I don't know how many times or how many pastries I bought, but that is what this reminded me of. And it was suddenly the thought crossed my mind, you know, didn't have an inkling of it, not by any stretch what I went into the cafe for. And, you know, and I was thinking, so what's different today? I don't go to cafes very much, but I got into that habit during COVID and kind of staying, you know, away from a lot of public places. But like when I think about going into a cafe today and maybe even seeing the pastry counter or any other kind of situation, I think, please, you know, it's like, keep me, you know, no, thank you. No, thank you. Because, you know, fortunately, day after day, as I live in this program and the steps, I'm so grateful for this life and not that life where I would make that suddenly kind of choice. So thank you. And I'll pass with that.
Oh, thank you so much, Reggie O. And Wendy is up next, followed by April.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, the line where I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart. And, you know, his vague sensing was his intuition, you know, his sense of inner knowing. And, you know, as he moved further from that insane voice of his higher power and closer to the insane, you know, never satisfied voice of his disease, you know, he loses contact with the truth. You know, like it says in the doctor's opinion, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the truth from the false. And, you know, my disease, you know, causes the vagueness, the detachment, you know, from the inevitable consequences. And, you know, the scales are tipping in the opposite direction, you know, away from sane, clear-headed thinking. And the sudden insane thought, you know, crossed his mind, and he embraced it. You know, he didn't run from it as from a hot flame. He let the tempting thought play in his mind. You know, he encouraged it. And, you know, we learn in program when we're having a weak moment, you know, when we got too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you know, we need to flee the temptation, you know, and turn to God to find our solace and our protection and our hiding place in Him. And, you know, we can reach out to our fellows, you know, and get support when our thinking is no longer clear, you know, and when we feel muddled and uncertain, you know, we're never going to be cured. You know, we are human and we need to stay on the alert, you know, and ever vigilant for the subtle ways our disease wants to creep back in, you know, and, you know, we're promised neutrality around our substances, but we have to, you know, continually do the work necessary to maintain it. And, you know, I know for me, you know, I want to think I can attain immunity. You know, I can graduate, you know, from needing to continue doing this work. And, you know, I want to just, like, relax and coast, you know. I want to have arrived, you know, but that won't happen. You know, I have to let go of you know, those expectations of attaining it, you know, and then relaxing and just accept that I'll continue to trudge, you know, the rest of my life. I have to keep doing this work. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. April B. is up next, followed by Mo. Go ahead, April.
Hi, I'm April B., calling from Virginia. And thank you, everyone, for being here. And many thanks to Teen Thursday. I love this page. I feel like I should read this page of the Big Book every day because I am so Jim. You know, when I break my abstinence, you know, I would tell you, you know, the thought crossed my mind. It just occurred to me. It was a wild random thought. But it was a vision sponsor that introduced me to a slip inventory that requires you to go back through a day before the whole day or a day before, however long it takes. And there is always something, you know, just like the earlier paragraph, you know, get into a fight with the boss, irritated that I, you know, have to work for the place I used to own. I mean, for me, I can find similarities, you know, lots of similarities in everything that happens with Jim. And, you know, I also, you know, have those same emotional events that I don't acknowledge and don't consciously experience, but they're there. The feelings are there. They're just building up and piling up event after event after event until the explosion is a break in abstinence. And it seems on the surface that it's sudden, but it's not sudden. For me, if I think back, you know, there is something going on, and I'm glad to be reminded of this because I was feeling exactly the same thing the last week or so, and I'm like, what is happening to me? And I have had a couple of tiny little events, some emotional events, and that I clearly did not take care of in my 10th step and had to go back and you know, catch up on and join my inventory and take the time to go through that with my sponsor and to, you know, do what it says in the Big Book, which is, you know, question, do I need to make amends? What corrective action should I take? I kid you not, I can't say this enough, how this book is saving me and this paragraph is saving me today. Because if I don't take care of those emotional events, those emotions that are coming up and doing their thing, whether I'm acknowledging them or not, the experience is happening, right? And those are the things that send me into the food. You know, once I've been cleared of my alcoholic foods, then I should never pick up again, right? Like if it would just get rid of the alcoholic foods, I'd never pick up. I should have no problems. But that isn't the only problem. The other problem is, you know, my own inability to live life on life's terms. And part of that is not being able to deal with feelings when situations come up. And I hear my time. Thank you, timer, and I will pass. Thanks so much.
Oh, great. Thanks so much. April, Mo H. is up next, and then we are going to take another lineup. Go ahead, Mo.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry. Thanks for your service and all those giving service, and welcome to the newcomers. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Oh, another great paragraph once again, and as we know, squiggly writing in the big book means it's very important. They spent extra money to do that kind of writing. But suddenly, again, as everybody is talking about, the thought crossed my mind. That's the disease. The thought, the disease crossed my mind. I begin to believe the lie. The disease lies to me all the time that I can do this or I can do that. A little whiskey in the milk. Come on, that's an insane idea. And he vaguely sensed it, that it was an insane idea. And I have written here in my book, relapse is not an event, it's a process. It's a gradual process that starts way before the ounce of whiskey in the milk, way before I pick up. As people said before me, he was working for a car dealership that he once owned. He went to work on Tuesday, what went on Monday, you know, he was irritated, and then he drives out to the country, you know, to think he's going to get a prospect. The other thing is, you know, I go on auto numpilot. You know, I have a lot of information, but there's no transformation. So what I do to fight the disease is I work every day on my program. I work all the tools. I work the steps. I start feeling restless, irritable, and discontent. I do a 10-step. I had an incident happen to me yesterday. We're in the middle of it. I vaguely sensed that this wasn't a good idea. And it ended up to be a scammer, and I ended up having to cancel my credit card. But as my sponsor said, I got out of the problem and into the solution. But in the middle of it, I vaguely sensed this wasn't right, even though who was on the other line was sweet talking me. So I really need to be, I can't do this program unless I am abstinent. And being abstinent and working the spiritual part of the program helps me have a clear mind, clear ears, clear eyes, helps me to see better, helps me to understand better. And then I can catch myself. If I'm in the middle of thinking, oh, a little of this won't hurt. I mean, I've said that so many times I don't have to tell, you know, that doesn't work because my body tells me that this is not a good idea. So I love all your shares, and I appreciate my time. Thank you. And I hear my timer pass.
Thanks, Mo. Okay, you know, now's a good time to let people know where we are today before I take another lineup in case you joined us after we started. We are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, chapter 3, page 36, and we have read that second paragraph only, starting with, suddenly the thought crossed my mind. Great story here of Jim. And I just want to remind everyone that if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, then please give me your name now, and I will take a lineup.
Hi, Debbie P. from Indiana.
Debbie P.
Nancy L. in California.
Nancy L., California.
Debbie V., Virginia.
Debbie V, Virginia. All right. Why don't we start with these three? Debbie P is up.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Indiana. I have heard people tell me that a relapse happens long before I pick up. And I didn't get that. I didn't understand how that could be. nor did I understand how I could pick up. I mean, like all of a sudden I'm drinking the whiskey and the milk. Obviously for me, it's food of other kinds, but I just never understood it. And this today, I'm just kind of getting the gist of what that means. And for me today, with working the steps as diligently as I have, my insides are clear. So the messages I get from my higher power are much more obvious than if I'm in the food and I've got all this convoluted messages going on, in my mind. I can't tell my higher power's will when I've got all this chatter going on between my ears. So now I still don't hear a voice of my higher power. But like I just heard, it's my body that tells me it's the my higher power's will or my will. So for my body, if I'm anxious and restless and trying to push or, just feeling like my shoulders are up to my ears, it's probably my will I'm trying to force on the situation that I'm in. But if I have a calm certainty, if I just feel like, oh, hey, yeah, that's probably right, and my insides are just calm, like a pond with no ripples, I know that it's probably the will of my higher power and I can move forward. I can't say that I don't have thoughts of eating things that I used to think were wonderful, but immediately my second thought these days is more along the lines of, you don't want to go back there. It's been too miserable, too painful and too difficult to get back to where you are today. So, you don't want to go there. And thank goodness that I get that message. And it's only because my insides are clear and I'm able to hear or feel my higher power's will for me, that just for today, I don't need to pick up. I don't need to eat compulsively, and I just need to do the next right thing. So that's all I have today. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie P. And next up is Nancy L. Go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning, Nancy L. in Southern California. Happy to be here. Excuse me. I just wanted to share pretty much the same thing everybody else is sharing, but one thing that gets me is, like you said, the progression and going to your old haunts and saying you're okay when you're not. That's a big one for me. I sometimes try to look for a 10th step in the end of the day and I can't find one. And how can I possibly have not gotten agitated all day long? Obviously, something has bothered me. And so sometimes you just have to really dig for those. And sometimes I've discovered recently some really buried things that I should have dealt with in my fourth step that weren't bothering me then that have come up. So sometimes it's even things that you don't think is a problem that are going to come and bite you later. But I do see that that I can't tell you how many times I'm like, it's just a little drop of chocolate in the milk, or it's just, a little bit of one of the foods. It's okay. It's a borderline food. It's okay. And as soon as my brain says it's okay, I know it's not. And another thing that I found is the prayer on page 87 that just says, Lord, I'm agitated, and I actually fill in any blank that's there, like angry, frustrated, sad, lonely. Please give me the right thought or action, and I'm no longer running the show. Sometimes if I just stop and pause for just a second, it goes away, or at least my sense comes back enough to overcome the temptation. And sometimes it doesn't, and you have to do more extreme measures like making a phone call. But I am very glad for the many examples in this book of the slippery slope that we are on every day. And thank you so much for my daily medicine, which is this phone call. So I appreciate that. And thank you for letting me share. Have a beautiful day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from California. And Debbie V. is up next, and then I'll take some more names. Go ahead, Debbie.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service, and thank you for hearing me. Debbie V. gratefully recovered in Virginia. Just so grateful for this reminder and the reminder that I'm powerless. And something happened to me the other, about 4 days ago. I do my 10th step, and I do my fourth step when I need it. And what happened was an event, something, somebody said something, it triggered a whole bunch of things. And what I found was that my basket, my heart was not empty, even though I was doing my 10th step. And I was wondering, what did I do? I don't understand. As I was doing my 10th step around the incident, I realized that it wasn't suddenly with the incident, like what we're reading. It was a whole gamut of things that were building, and I didn't even know. Well, surprise, surprise, I qualify. I have a twist of the mind. I have distorted thinking. I don't, at times, most times, I don't know right from wrong. And so I prayed on this, and I talked to people, and the missing ingredient was at night, besides doing my 10th step and my, and when we retire at night, to actually get on my knees, to humble myself, and to admit that there may be things that I'm not aware of. Please, higher power, help me to set aside everything I know and everything I think I know about you, about myself, about others, about this work of recovery, that I may have an open mind and a new experience of you in my life. Please help me to see the truth. My missing ingredient was higher power. I was relying on myself. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you for listening. And I am committed to flexing and exercising my spiritual wings with all of you and with higher power. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Debbie. And now I will take another lineup. I can have room for a few more names at least if you haven't shared in the last 2 days. Now's a good chance.
Genoa V. Genoa V.
Yeah, Genoa V.
Patricia C.
Patricia C.
Janie G. in Michigan.
Yeah, great. Janie G. Michigan.
Diane Y. from Texas.
M. Southern California.
Anne. California. I have Genoa, Patricia. Okay, that's it for
Jamie
now.
Jamie M. Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me tell you everyone who I have, and then you can tell me if I missed your name. I think this is going to be more than enough. Genoa, Patricia, Jamie, Diane, Anne, and Jamie. Okay, let's go with Genoa. I think I heard it right.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Genoa V from Las Vegas. And usually I'm not on this meeting because I'm usually at work. But, man, oh, man, I'm so glad I got on this meeting this morning. I'm usually on earlier is what I mean. But I don't really know what I'm going to say, but I know that what has been shared has really, really touched me. Probably because it's right where I'm at this morning. Just long story, very short barrage of different emotions yesterday, and just could not see. I just could not see what was happening. And talking to my husband this morning, he just said, I'm so surprised that you can't see that when A, B, and C happens, this is how it affects you. And he's like, really? I'm that blind to my disease, to my emotions that I didn't even see. I know one of the problems is I don't have a sponsor right now. That has not gone well for me. And so while I believe in sponsorship, I know that I need a sponsor. I've been very gun shy about trying to get a sponsor. I've heard people talking about emotions and things this morning, and I don't think I've had a sponsor say to me, you know, Genoa, let's look at what's happening here. Let's look at the emotions. It feels to me like I always get the person who has forgotten what it's like to deal with the food. While I haven't picked up my alcoholic foods, sometimes with abstinent food, you know, off the trail. And anyway, not blaming sponsorship or any of that. I know that I have to work my program, but Lord knows I really need guidance because, you know, the whiskey and the milk, I laugh, you know, when I read that, but I so understand that. As a fellow in program always says, I never had a thought I disagreed with. You know, yes, that sounds like the right thing for me to do. Yeah, that'll make me feel better, da-da-da-da-da. And so consequently, I'm late getting ready for work this morning because I've just been paralyzed with feeling depressed. You know, page 52 says we are prey to misery and depression, and that's what I've been feeling this morning, just that weight of emotions and feelings and all that stuff that I get all tangled up with. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here this morning. So grateful to hear you guys share, and I never want to share in here because I feel like I have just nothing to offer. But that also keeps me separated from you all. I've said that before, but I still have difficulty trying to work through that. So thank you for allowing me to share this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're glad that you shared. And next up is Patricia C.
Hello, this is Patricia C., recovered compulsive overeater, and I really don't have anything specific to say. I normally don't have the ability to join the live meeting, and I wanted to share because I never share, but this was such a good meeting. Oh, my gosh. So I've been recovered for a little over 2 years, and it's been amazing, like life-changing, but, you know, after 2 years, it starts to feel like normal, like it's like this is normal life, like this is how life is, which can is great, but also like, you know, exactly what can happen is what everyone's been mentioning, that like, yeah, you start thinking it's normal and then you start having that kind of slippery slope, as they say, that process, you know. So this was just great because I just felt like my heart quickened and I was like, oh, man, do I have a buildup? You know, I do notice a lot of times during my days, I have 10 steps, but for the most part, I do them at the end of the night because at the end of the night, and I think somebody else mentioned this, I'll be like, did I have any disturbances today? And I'll think, well, there's just this little one that I had, and I'm like, probably not even worth mentioning. And then I start talking about it, and I realize I'm really upset, or I'm really scared, or like, I've been scared all day. And I didn't realize that I spent all this energy being scared. I didn't even realize I was scared until I start talking about it, you know? So I just love these reminders to be like having your 10 steps, which is basically for those who don't know, like if you're new, that's basically like going through your, after you've done all the steps, if you go, you keep doing your steps 4 through 9, they're just a lot shorter and a lot easier than when you first go through and you have the whole big overhaul. It's like, you know, it's like the daily tidying up as opposed to the big overhaul you do when you first go through the steps. And you can keep doing it, obviously. You can do like spring cleanings and fall cleanings in your, on your soul, you know. And some people do them scheduled. But anyway, I'm like getting into like more detail than I meant to, but it's just been great. It's just been great, a great reminder. Like, let me check and make sure my foundation is secure. Like, is there anything that I need to do? And I just love that. And I loved everyone's shares. And I appreciate you all listening to me ramble. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thanks, Patricia. Next up is Jamie.
Hi, this is Jamie G in Michigan. And like a couple other speakers, I'm not usually able to be on this meeting, but I'm so thankful I got to hear it live. I usually listen to the day after, but this story of Jim is just a picture of what happens when I fail to enlarge my spiritual life. That's what it talks about on the previous page. All the I's, me's, and my's come back because my default is self, what I think, what I want, what I feel, trusting myself, trusting my diseased mind instead of asking the manufacturer of the car what's best to put in the tank for fuel. I just go back to my old self-reliant ways, you know, based on selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, and fear. What I want, what I think, what I feel, what seems best to me. And the thing is, I don't even see it. I have these mental blank spots, and that's why I need to truly work these steps, especially the 10th. And why I need my sponsor and my fellows, because I might see something that's small, like someone mentioned, but it's not about what that thing is. It's about what it brings up in me. and what is blocking me from my relationship with God and blocking me from my relationships with other people. And the difference is now I'm living a spiritually centered life based on my relationship with God, and it's just amazing what He does with my willingness, because now, honestly, instead of having the idle hands, which are a devil's workshop. I remember my grandma saying, you know, if I'm just sitting around doing nothing, I am always just looking to be of service. How does God want to use me in this situation? And honestly, that is not me. That is totally God. But I heard someone say once that when I got busy, I got better. And that's my story. You know, I got busy working these steps, and I can thank God that now for 5.5 months, I've been recovered. And God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. I just bring my willingness and do the next right thing. So it's just good to be in recovery, and it's better or easier to stay abstinent than to get abstinent again. So I'm just going to stay in the center of the herd and keep doing what's working. That's all I have today. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much, Jamie. And next up is Diane, and hopefully we'll have time for Ann and Jamie after that. So go ahead, Diane. Star one to unmute Diane from Texas.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Now we can. Yep, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I was talking away. I just want to share my gratitude. I had a lot of calls from folks the past 2 weeks, and I wasn't able to return the calls, but I just want to say that these meetings, the sharings, and the phone calls is what really got me through some really tough times these past 2 weeks. I'm so grateful for this book, this program, and for the honesty, for people that I don't even know that receive my 10th step, and then I'll get feedback from them, and just lovingly speaking truth to me based in the big book, and that's the key. I love this passage because it reminds me that I have a disease that wants to kill me. It wants to kill me. It wants to separate me from what's natural and normal. I mean, so long ago, yes, you know, there was a time I had natural instinct and hunches to do good things for myself, but I have a disease that wants me to hurt myself with food. And it takes a higher power to do for me what I can't do for myself, to practice self-care. And that's what I love about these 12 steps. They save my life. They help me to get out of myself and be of service to the people around me and to do what I'm supposed to be doing, what I was created for, to practice love and tolerance. I just want to say thank you to all the people who honestly share and for the people who have reached out to me. And I just felt so loved, and I felt so much a part of. One of the folks who called me said that connecting is the opposite of addiction. You know, the isolation, that's the disease. And so someone said it last week, I'm going to steal what he said, get in the game, get a sponsor, ask your higher power to help you find a sponsor. I'm working with someone great, and it was a God-given gift and opportunity. And so I just want to say thank you for being here, and that's all.
Thanks so much, Diane. Next up is Anne, and we'll see how it goes with time. Go ahead, Anne. Star one to unmute Anne from California. Okay, we're not hearing you, Anne. Okay, and maybe something happened with her phone system. Let's go on to Jamie, and then we'll go back to Anne. Go ahead, Jamie.
This is Jamie, compulsive overeater, grateful to be here. Thank you all for your service. What a great passage. What a great reminder. You know, I used to do that and deny myself, you know, and talk myself into just a little bit. It's okay. It's healthy. And that never seemed to work. But my disease told me it was going to work, and I allowed that. And today I don't allow that. I try to work with God, you know, and be the best employee, the best student, whatever I can do for God and be the best service to my fellows who have given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And what I did today was I did one of those whiskeys. I'm having some medical issues and I'm in California and my health insurance sort of changed with a shocker. So I've had to make some changes and I was feeling vulnerable. And I think I'm bulletproof because I'm healthy and I'm this. Well, I'm 54 years old. Life goes on. I'm a number. And I'm in denial that it's allergies. I have no idea. So I made a phone call, not to someone in program or a 10-step, to my mother, which is going to the hardware store for salad. And it was like I was beating myself up like Jim, taking a little whiskey. I don't deserve it. I can't fix myself. What's wrong with me? The whole word is I. I is an illness. We is a wellness. And I started crying. I said, oh, my God, my disease got me. So immediately I put my name in the group me and another thing for 10 steps. I did the 10 steps. Now I'm with God. I'm feeling peace and joy. I reached out and listened to somebody who needed to be a 10 step. Now I'm observant to someone else. And that's what I was taught. In my mind, when I went that direction, crossroads here, I chose my mother or crossroads with God. When I started going with God and working my program, remembering who I was, guess what? I felt better. Imagine that, all these years doing the same thing in the program, enjoying it, and still that disease wants to get me. It just amazes me. But thank God I have a higher power that reminds me that it's not I, it's we. And I am so grateful to get a chance to share and thank everybody for this service. Have a wonderful morning or whatever time zone you're in. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jamie. And I will look for Anne again. We have time for a one-minute share from Anne in California. If you're here, press star one. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for a wonderful meeting, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Okay, will Lorraine N. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.